Would you join me in a moment of prayer? Oh God, we give you thanks that you are with us. Let your Holy Spirit remind us of that fact so that our hearts are full of the peace and the joy and the trust that gives us life in you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. If you've ever thought the stories of the Bible have no relevance today, consider the similarity between the 1977 film Annie Hall and the ancient Israelites as seen in our story from Exodus this morning. Annie Hall was, for a while, one of my favorite films. In it, one of the characters, Alvy Singer, tells this joke. There's two old women in a dining room at a resort. One says to the other, "Ugh, the food here is so terrible." And the other answers, "I know, and such small portions." For the character, this joke reveals his philosophy of life. It's full of misery and sorrow and pain, and it's over much too quickly. More than 3,000 years ago, the Hebrew people living in Egypt were groaning under slavery, and they would have understood Alvy Singer's joke all too well. God heard them groaning and was moved and brought them out of Egypt, but then Pharaoh wanted them back and pursued them. Seeing this and being trapped on the shores of the Red Sea with an army behind them, the Israelites groaned again. "Why did you take us out of Egypt? Didn't we say, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better to live as slaves than die here in the desert." In other words, the Israelites groaned, "Our captivity in Egypt is horrible, and it's over so quickly." We all know what happens next, though. Moses speaks the words so common in Scripture, "Do not be afraid." He reminds them that they should continue to trust in the Lord, and then God instructs Moses to raise his staff, which he does, and the waters of the Red Sea are parted by a strong wind so that the Israelites can cross through on dry land with walls of water to their right and their left. The story isn't plainly triumphant, though. There is a darkness, an unpleasantness to Exodus. You see, the Israelites don't just escape the armies of Egypt. God hardens the hearts of Pharaoh and the Egyptians so that they will follow. Then God throws them into confusion and sticks their wheels in the mud so that the waters crash down over them, drowning them all. "Through this," says God, "I will gain glory." This is, and I speak from experience, not an easy story to explain to your kids. So what do we do with it? What do we make of it? Well, this is one of those Bible stories from which you never graduate. You could spend your whole life meditating on, unraveling, re-raveling, and wrestling with this one, just like the great flood in Noah's Ark, or Abraham nearly sacrificing his son Isaac. I'm sure you've all heard someone talk about the difference between the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. Although it's the same God, the same figure, the idea is that God in the Old Testament is characterized by violence, a vengeful God, whereas God in the Gospels is merciful. It's obviously too neat a contrast, but stories like the massacre at the Red Sea are what gave rise to this reading. Today, though, I see the Israelites not trying to portray in their sacred story a vengeful God, but an involved God. A God who hears their groaning, a God who remembers the covenant and keeps it, a God who raises up a leader, Moses, in the most unlikely way, a God who guides the people by day and night with pillars of cloud and fire, a God who sees people in captivity and leads them to freedom. And in response, the Israelites slowly and imperfectly come to trust that God will stay involved. God will continue to be at work in their lives. This is also a story, then, of a bunch of people wandering out of Egypt, becoming a people, a community with a group identity, God's people. The story from Genesis to Exodus is the story of that identity expanding from one family, the family of Abraham, through his descendants, and now to an entire nation, the Israelites. In the New Testament, Jesus will take that identity and give it to the whole world. Jews and Gentiles, Israelites and Egyptians, righteous and unrighteous, you and me. We are all God's people. And what does it mean to be God's people? It means even in our groaning, and life will make us groan sometimes, even in the midst of that, to continue to see God's involvement. Faith is, simply, trusting in the promises of God and seeing them fulfilled in our lives. So like Alvy from Annie Hall, or like the Israelites in the wilderness, we today have our own seemingly paradoxical punchline that comes in handy when fear attacks our faith. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. When the sea is in front of you and an army behind, God is with you. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. When an illness you can't understand or conquer takes a loved one, God is with you. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. When today feels impossible and tomorrow is uncertain, God is with you. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Faith allows us to see God involved in our lives, even when life has us groaning. And we can trust that God hears our groans, remembers the promises made to us in our baptisms, and will lead us out of whatever captivity we are in. Fear not, God is with you. Amen.